Our brother Paul Jenkins is going to bring us the word of exhortation today. And he has asked, in accordance with his exhortation, which is one accord, that we read Acts 2, starting in verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the ecclesia daily such as should be saved. We'll hear from our brother Paul.
Do you want to remove that?
Good morning, brothers and sisters, respected friends of the truth. It's been a while since I've been up here. One Accord is the title of my subject this morning. And I believe what we just read is some of the most powerful words in the Scriptures that describe this union that those in covenant relations have with our God. Baptized only in the name of Christ. Promises added unto them. Doctrine. Fellowship. Breaking bread. Believed together and had all things common. Singleness of heart. And of one accord or one mind. Unity, I believe, is the most important thing with God. Even from the beginning in Genesis, we can see this aspect of unison. Creation and all its beauty and its wonder, we see order had been set. And as we discussed a little bit in Wednesday night class, the stars are set in a fixed or set position. And we know that the planets, in their turn, are hanging in space by the power of our Creator. The entire universe is set in total agreement. Any slight variations or of movement into different orbits would bring total devastation. As we know, planets would collide. The sun or maybe even other stars would move close enough to burn the earth up as we know it. What I'm getting ready to read now, which I thought was appropriate, right now, was sent by a brother about 4 years ago. Some of you all might have read this, by my uncle, Brother Tommy. And it is titled, What an Awesome, Orderly, and Wise God. And it reads, God's order may be observed in the hatching of eggs. For example, the eggs of the potato bug hatch in 7 days, those of the canary in 14 days, those of the barnyard hen in 21 days, the eggs of a duck and geese hatch in 28 days, those of the mallard in 35 days, the eggs of the parrot and the ostrich hatch in 42 days. Notice they are all divisible by 7, the number of days in a week. God's wisdom is seen in the making of an elephant. The four legs of this great beast all bend forward in the same direction. No other quadruped is so made. God ordered that this animal would have a huge body, and for this reason he gave it four fulcrums, so that it can rise from the ground easily. The horse rises from the ground on its two front legs first. A cow rises from the ground with its two hind legs first. And how wise the Lord is in all his works of creation. God's wisdom is revealed in his arrangement of fruit, vegetable, and grain seed sections and segments, as well as in the number of seeds or grains. Each watermelon has an even number of stripes on the rind. Each orange has an even number of segments. Each ear of corn has an even number of rows. Each stalk of wheat has an even number of grains. Every bunch of bananas has on its lowest row an even number of bananas, and each row decreases by one, so that one row has an even number and the next row an odd number. The waves of the sea roll in on the shore 26 to the minute in all kinds of weather. All grains are found in even numbers on the stalks, and the Lord specified 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold, all even numbers. God has caused the flowers to blossom at certain specified times during the day, that so Linnaeus, the great botanist, once said that if he had a conservatory containing the right kind of soil, moisture, and temperature, he could tell the time of day or night by the flowers that were open and those that were closed. Thus the Lord, in his wonderful grace, can arrange the life that is entrusted to his care in such a way that it will carry out his purposes and plans, and will be fragrant with his presence. Only the God-planned, safe life is successful. Only the life given over to the care of the Lord is fulfilled. The grass, an herb-yielding seed, the tree-yielding fruit, great whales and every winged fowl that he has made, is it not yet still in the order that he created, in unison and in agreement? Is not the grape still a grape, and an orange still an orange? If this sameness did not exist, this interconnection of DNA and cells, this undividedness, all species would lose their identity, including all plants and animals. We would see evolution. God does not change, or can he change his plan and purpose for us and the earth? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Look over in Hebrews 6, verses 17 through 19. Hebrews 6, verses 17 through 19. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Some of you in here that may fish or have even been to a tackle store, you may have seen one of those things called the gator trouts. These are animals that have been taxidermied in the shop. Now, someone has crafted this creature by morphing the head of a small alligator onto the body of a fish, of a sea trout. This is two different species of animals together as one. And there are other ones that you can look on the internet, but they have made these, and they look real. When you go into the store and you see them hanging up, they've smoothed them up. You would think that it was a real animal. But what's happened here is man is bringing these differences in. And we know God, that from the beginning, again, has spoken the word, and in those words of truth, nothing has changed. This next paragraph I'm going to read is from Christadelphian Bible Study Lessons, The Biblical Purpose of the Ecclesia. It is the conclusion on page 11 of the subject, Learning to Be One Body. No group can have true unity of body unless its members are wholly dedicated in their obedience to and their manifestation of divine perfection. Strife and confusion cannot be long endured as its alienating effects rebuff the spiritual man. We are commanded to comfort one another, as opposed to the spirit that produces envy, strife, and confusion. The wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. James 3:16-17. First pure, then peaceable, is the prescribed order. They are mutually inclusive, for unity does not exist where one or the other is excluded or pushed to the side. There will be unity in a body where truth prevails and where the truth is spoken in love, as we grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from Ephesians 4:15. How wholesome the words, comfort one another, bear ye one another burdens, and be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another. We profess to be part of the one body, and that body requires our attention and our commitment. The Hebrew word for unity is Y-A-H-A-D, Yahad, maybe, and the adverb is unitedly, used to signify a oneness of sentiment, affection, or behavior, such as should exist among the people of God. Over in Psalms 133, I'd like to read verses 1 through 3. Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. And as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. Dwelling together with one heart. The unity of the faith is the unanimity of belief in the same great truths of God that have been taught since the beginning of man. The Greek word is henotes, maybe henotes, which signifies a oneness. Look over in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, and I'll read verses 4 through 6. Romans 15:4-6. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now Yahweh, well, I got one more in Romans 12:16. Back a page, says, Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, and be not wise in your own conceits. Yahweh has established that the direction of the ecclesia, and that His chosen vessels might have an environment in which to maintain His teachings and doctrine in truth, and that we can take comfort, and that we can prepare ourselves for the coming of our Master. Psalms 86. Psalms 86, verses 9 through 12. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. David wants his heart, his mind, to be in accord, unanimous, in his thoughts, in his thinking, to be of that in harmony with God. David sees what his responsibility is, as is each of ours, to glorify God, as we read earlier in Romans 15, 6, that ye may, with one mind, one mouth, esteem God. This is what we will be doing with Christ for 1,000 years, if granted into that joyous age, where our service to Him will be perfected and will be supported in all of our efforts. 1 Timothy 3. First Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the ecclesia of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now what Paul is telling us is that the ecclesia of the living God could be compared to what a pillar and ground are for a building structure in relation to the truth of Yahweh. The ecclesia is the manifestation of sound doctrine and teaching which upholds the truth, as is a building supports of good columns and a solid foundation. The whole purposes of saints is to fill the earth with knowledge of God. Those saints that throughout the ages who have and who will live their lives unto Yahweh, being redeemed from the cursed line of Adam, and as a result of their obedience and faith, and by the sacrifice of Christ, the prophet Habakkuk tells us what he saw in his vision in chapter 2:14 for these people. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. An awesome time that we all hope to be a part of. It is of utmost importance that sound teaching of the truth be upheld, and that the stability of the ecclesia is contingent on this, so that the gospel can remain and that it is preserved from generation to generation, so that we be not moved away from the hope of the gospel and continue in faith, grounded and settled. How is it possible that sound doctrine and sound teaching being taught in an ecclesia, that they could allow certain men who bring with them false ideas or practices to creep in unawares? Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30. Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And not only do we each have to daily struggle against this nature of our flesh, but are in constant need to contend for the faith within the brotherhood, as so many sources are trying to corrupt the pureness of God's holy word. When our Lord returns, shall he find the faith on the earth? Look over in Philippians 3:16. Philippians 3:16 reads, "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing." Walk by the same rule, and let us mind the same thing. It is important that we find strength through the Word of God and prayer to be able to say, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." We have been chosen to do a most difficult task in these last days that we are living in, to fulfill God's purpose in reflecting the glory of God in the ecclesia and in our lives unanimously, to walk by the same rule, to mind the same thing, is dependent upon a true knowledge of the Spirit Word, which we have to discern by proving all things and holding fast to that which is good. Now, even with Christ, this oneness of spirit with the Father, this did not happen all at once at his birth, but was a transformation from humanity into birth. Through trial and adversity, the attainment of knowledge by divine instruction, faith and baptism, and his perfect obedience unto death, his sacrifice, the resurrection, and then finally immortality. Look over in Hebrews 5:7-9. Hebrews 5:7-9. "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. And though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him." Remember, brethren, we are not in the truth for ourselves, but to bring glory to God. Disagreements, differences, opposition, divorce, denial, discord, separation, partiality are not of God, but of man. Amos 3:3, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" The lives of each of us are ordered by the Lord in a beautiful way for his glory, but we have to entrust him with our lives. If we are trying to regulate our own lives, it will be a mess, believe me, and it will also be a failure. There is only one, the one who hath made us, our brains, our hearts, that can successfully guide us to a profitable end. "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy. In the evil way, in the froward mouth, do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me, Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way, in thy way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. And while I was yet, he had not made the earth, nor fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree, that the waters should not pass his commandment. When he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and they that hate me love death. In closing, I'll read 1 Corinthians verses 1 through 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothenes, our brother, unto the ecclesia of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided?
Thank you, Brother Paul. We are very fortunate to have one of the few ecclesias of sound doctrine.
I think I need that mic today.
Let us continue with the singing of hymn 105. As our memorial hymn. The first begotten from the dead, lo, Jesus risen, his people's head, to make their life secure. Hymn 105.
Author Ecclesiastes, Basis of Fellowship, exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments. Take this table set before us. Our minds should be totally from the beginning in the garden. We see the typical lamb. Genesis 3:21. We read, unto Adam also, and to the two, three, four, starting in verse 1, we read, and said, I have begotten a man from the Lord. Brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Seed and Noah build an ark, builded beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. All looking forward to their Redeemer as they offered their sacrifice. Israel, in their coming out of Egypt, would have seen it in the striking of the blood from the Passover lamb. In Exodus 12, starting in verse 5, we read, without blemish, a male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep. You shall keep it up until the 14th day. The nation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take the doorpost of the house, wherein they shall eat it, and they shall eat the flesh, and that night roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. The encampment in the wilderness, we see the many animals offered. Cattle and all its furnishings, the altar, the ark with the mercy seat, all foreshadowed the official Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. Verse 7, we see Christ as that Passover Lamb. Therefore, the all leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are left. Even Christ, our Passover, is one, beginning at verse 28, we in Bethbara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, taketh away the sin of the world. 18 we read, for as much as you know, redeemed with the corruptible things and silver and with the precious blood of Christ, and without spot. 21 we read, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, giving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who his own self bare our sins and his own body on me, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes, to see what love and mercy the Father has shown, we might have a Redeemer, also a high priest, emblem in remembrance of him, looking back at the offering he made in his own body, he turned, and the setting up of his kingdom upon this earth, kingdom where we might serve him in remembrance of him who paid the price for our redemption, knowing how he prepared and his blood poured out as the only true covering for sin. 26, for eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, up and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all. Thank you.
Let us close with the singing of hymn 211, after which I would like to ask Brother... Is that our closing hymn? After which I would like to ask Brother Luke to offer closing prayer. Though the night be dark around us, in the narrow way we tread, casting off all fear of danger, by God's counsel, safely led. Hymn 211.
Almighty Father in heaven, we approach into thy throne of grace and the mediation of thy Son to thank you for this day given to us to meet together to study thy word and hear thoughts of exhortation and to remember thy Son and his sacrifice. We pray that as we leave, we would be strengthened and unified through thy saving grace and thy precious words of hope and promise, that through them we would be servants pleasing unto thee, that we would follow the example set forth by thy Son and do thy commandments to the best of our ability. And we pray for the soon return of thy Son from thy right hand to establish thy kingdom upon this earth again. And it's our great hope and desire that when we stand before the throne of judgment, we would find mercy in thy sight, our sins would be forgiven, and we may all hear those long for words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord." Please help us to keep this thought in the forefront of our minds until the day when that is a reality. We offer and pray for these things through the mediation of thy Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.